It's time for Driving Me Crazy, coming to you live from Beechtree Studios near beautiful Pinehurst, North Carolina. This is the only show where a husband and wife drive, talk cars and life, and still love one another each day. Here's John and Laurie. Or is it Laurie and John? Oh, take it away, you crazy kids.
I am crazy. There's no driving me to it anymore.
No, both of us. Good morning, everybody. It's John and
Good
Laurie.
Good morning.
From...
So you're on automatic, huh, John?
Yes, I'm just automatically crazy now.
No, we're here. We're here, and it's very good to talk to you snowbirds up there, although it's been very glowery here in Pinehurst, North Carolina.
Hopefully glowery, that means overcast.
Overcast, that's right. But in any case, heavy. So we're going to go right into things with our review this week of the 2021 Cadillac XT6 Sport all-wheel drive. It was a wonderful midsize SUV that we scored so much this week.
It's a big one.
I was smitten, and it looks good, too, on top of that.
Oh, no, yeah, it looks great. It's you got the XT5 and the XT6, and this was the 6, and the XT6 comes in three models. Luxury, premium luxury, and sport. And, of course, we had the sport. So, and they are different, which I usually, as you know, I try to include in the articles that we write, I try to include the website so that people want to go and investigate it, they can. And it was cool because they have pictures on the website that, when you click on it, it shows each model. And as you move through the progression of the models, you see the differences in the trims and everything. So I thought that was actually pretty cool.
One thing with different models of a model vehicle that we've seen throughout the car manufacturers are that many are offering 5 and 6 and 7 different models of the same model vehicle, which is terribly confusing. But with this Cadillac, the thing that I thought was very well thought out was they're only offering 3 models of this SUV, but each one is in tune to a specific buyer, a specific need. The Sport is for the individual who enjoys having more control over his or her drive with the paddle shifters, right?
Yes.
Paddle shifters and the various modes.
Bigger engine
was the
V6. V6, yeah.
So that you have the opportunity to control your drive. If you like to drive thick, this is the happy medium. And then the first two models that Johnny mentioned, I think are more, I think the premium is luxury.
Yeah.
But Cadillac's all about luxury.
Well, it's interesting because Cadillacs are not cheap. The premium started at what? 47?
Yes.
But the premium started like $47,000 and a few dollars, which is not unaffordable, and you're driving a Cadillac. And I don't care which model of the Cadillac you get. They're quiet. They ride great. It's a Cadillac. It's one of the premier brands in the United States. So you get a lot of car for whatever you pay for it, but the starting price is like $47,000. And then usually they're going to add a few things. It's going to be more like 51 to start with, I think. But it's around $50,000 to start with.
But it's a Cadillac.
But it's a Cadillac. And then that's like the premium. And then the, what was the next one? The next one, level up, was the...
We don't have our notes with us because we're sitting
in
our
empty house. Yeah, we're moving, audience, so that's why we're in an empty house.
And while we're talking together.
Limited premium. Premium limited.
Right, that was it, which is a little more. But the interesting thing about when you get to what they consider price-wise and all the top of the line with the Sport, which is what we drove.
Wait a minute, let me get to there.
Oh, okay.
You got the premium. That's at one price. Then you have the premium limited. And this is what they do. The premium limited has everything the premium had, plus some more things. And then when you get to the Sport has everything the premium and the premium limited had, plus some more things. So they add things as you go up in model. Now go ahead.
And they're unique to that model. I guess that's my point. So if you're not somebody who is desirous of being in full control of how your vehicle drives and programming it and adjusting it to where you are and how you are, then the sport's not for you. If you want any level of Cadillac, your base model is going to be superb. Your Premium Limited will have a few more perks, I think one of them being all leather, all seats, but I'm not sure because, again, I don't have my notes in front of me, which is, I apologize, but what I can do is I can speak off the cuff about the drive and the ride. And this, you know, they always say the best of something is the Cadillac of something or the Tiffany of something. And Cadillac earned that ideology just because they make a spectacular vehicle and have for, what, well over a century. The fact of the matter is the ride in this vehicle is, it's flawless. The control is wonderful. You really feel that you are in a car that's going to take you places wherever you want to go. The off-road thing, this is an all-wheel drive car. I wouldn't take it to the back and beyond, obviously. But it's going to get you through a great deal because not only is it a beautiful car to ride in, to drive, but it's made. It's really made well, made to last, made to be efficient. One thing that I thought was very interesting, this is a seven-passenger vehicle. Now, in the sport, we had the club chairs for the driver and the front passenger. Second row had club chairs, lovely, like in the first-class airplane, with the armrests, and then a central walkway between the two second-row seats that get you to the third row, which can seat three. Now, yes, as with most third-row seating, the legroom is a little, you know, cozy. However, because you've got that kind of center aisle going between the second and third rows, you don't get that feeling at all. So this is a very efficient car for seven people.
Plus, it's... And of course, Cadillac, because they're roomy, I mean, they're sort of bigger and roomy, you have lots of head space. We have a new vehicle for this next week that we've been driving. And twice when the people brought it and I got in it to drive and whoever brought it was relatively short because the first thing I did was crack my neck by hitting my head on it. And, of course, my lovely wife drove it yesterday and she readjusted the seat. So when I got it this morning, I again popped my neck and hit my head.
Don't you think by now he
no.
would be used to this?
This is why I'm crazy.
Well, and here's something. This is a bit
one
of
more
a,
blow to the head. I'll be over the edge.
This is a bit of an aside which reflects on our marriage, and that is for several weeks now, I've kept saying to myself and to Johnny, don't forget that February 9th is my sister Cindy's 65th birthday. That was all that was going on in my head about dates. We've just been so overwhelmed, as everybody has, especially in these COVID days. But in any event, so...
Wait, where's your mask? Forgot my mask. I've got to go back and get a mask.
Yeah, no. So, well, it's just how it's affected the way we even think, let alone how we have to act. But in any event, so I said to... I said to Johnny, today's Cindy's birthday. And he said to me, when's our anniversary? And I replied...
What I said was... What's our anniversary around here sometimes? What is it like pretty, like, recently?
And I said, yes, 2 days ago. We had this is the sign of a really, really great marriage. We totally forgot.
We remembered Cindy's birthday and forgot
our anniversary. But anyway, so.
It was a momentous occasion.
So back to.
There were four people there in the Lord, let me tell you. That's
yeah,
all
we
it was.
Got there. It was wonderful.
Yeah.
But in any event, so back to this vehicle. Would I buy this vehicle, yes, but not in the sport, because I don't use paddles. It's not how I get around. Our lifestyle is such that after COVID, yes, for long distances, this SUV is phenomenal. It would be a brilliant thing to take on long drives.
I wanted to say, too, because this one's the little bigger one, the CT5 and the CT6 is a little bigger, and I put the seats down. I put the third row seats down. You just push a button, and they fold down flat. And I did the second row of seats, and they fold down flat, which I really like because we many times when you put the seats down in a vehicle, there's an angle to them. And so things tend to roll toward the middle or toward the back. But when you put the seats down in the Cadillac, it's flat. You have a big, big surface. It's like 70 cubic feet or something that to put things. And you can carry a lot of stuff in a vehicle that has that much space in it. So it's not only a big, luxurious, comfortable vehicle to ride in, it is also a practical vehicle if you are antique shopping or if you are, like we're doing, moving. You know, you can put a lot of boxes into a vehicle like
that. It's a versatile vehicle.
Yeah. That's why they call it SUV.
Yeah.
It's a suburban utility vehicle.
Yes, but I like what I think I just coined a great new phrase. A versatile vehicle. A VV. Boom. Oh, all right, good.
And you wonder why I'm crazy. Here we go.
Now, there is one thing that always, and Hussey, I know that you're going to laugh when you say this, when you hear this, but the floor mats are extra. Yes. This never ceases to slay us. We get these cars, they're absolutely magnificent. They're upper end, high price.
What's the base on this one?
The base price on this is $57,000 and change.
Yeah. Now, $57,000 isn't necessarily cheap, but it's not that much for a really big-time quality vehicle like a Cadillac XT6, good-size SUV, and you get lots of bells and whistles. However, they added some bells and whistles that Lori wants to tell you about.
But before I go into the bells and whistles that include the floor mats as an option, let me say this. What they do include as standard with safety and security is fabulous.
Yeah, they like a lot of these really premium vehicles, understand that people now want and expect safe vehicles to drive.
And Chrysler gets it. So standard with the XT6.
GM gets it.
Yeah, yes. Standard is following distance indicator, forward collision alert, front pedestrian braking, front and rear park assist, HD rear vision camera, lane change alert with side blind zone alert, lane keep assist with lane departure warning, rear cross traffic alert, safety alert seat, theft deterrent alarm system, sensor for vehicle inclination, sensor for interior movement, steering column lock control, door lock and latch shield. That's standard. So, okay, what is in this options price that adds almost $14,000 to the base MSRP?
Yeah, so you go from 57 to 71, which now you've got an expensive vehicle. So what do you get for this 13 or 14? Lori, why don't you clue us in?
Well, let me clue you in, my darling. And first of all, let me say, I'm going to start with what are the safety features that are options that you may want to add to what comes standard, and they are for $1,300, a driver assist package, automatic seat belt tightening.
We had that.
Yeah, I don't care for that. Do you?
I thought it was kind of interesting. I mean, it sort of tightens and then loosens, but it's fitting exactly to you.
Well, let me just say that if you've got curves, ladies, as I do, that when that automatic control figures out where it should tighten the belt, you end up getting... Well, I at least ended up getting a little too close for comfort up top. So, because, you know, unlike men, we go in and out. So that would not be something that would, you know.
Okay, we got it. Okay. Go ahead.
Adaptive
cruise control is when you turn it on. It now is judging the distance, all those things that we talked about. But it's also going to stop you. It's got the automatic braking is engaged when you put it in cruise control.
Enhanced automatic emergency braking.
Yeah, that works. Again, when I was driving this vehicle, there was a car stopping in front of me, and I started to put on the brake, and it's far enough, and I thought, well, I'm going to see what this does, and it immediately, and I had it set so that the distance, it was looking in the distance, and so as soon as it saw that, it began to slow me down, and the closer we got, the slower I went. I mean, it was automatic. It was not going to let me get close enough to that vehicle to have an accident. So it works. I mean, it's great stuff.
And then reverse automatic braking. So,
yeah, and that works for us because it's diagonal parking in front of the bank, for example, in downtown Pinehurst. And when you're parked, a lot of times you can't see very well vehicles that are coming from the oncoming lane, not the ones that are coming in your side, but from the other direction. And this is, does a really nice job because the camera now is looking 180 degrees, and it won't let you back out in front of a car that's coming. And I think that's a really good feature.
So for $1,300, that's small change to get those three features out of the four, the fourth being the seatbelt. That
agreed.
Okay. So now here is the $2,350 enhanced visibility and technology package, and that includes a rear camera mirror with washer, a gauge cluster with 8-inch color, an 8-inch color gauge cluster with driver personalization. Okay, neither of those two, I think, are, you know, musts, but the automatic parking assist with braking, the rear pedestrian alert, the HD surround vision, the head-up display, surround vision recorder. Of all those things, the only one that I think would appeal to me truly would be the automatic parking assist with braking. However,
which, and actually we're old school. It's, I don't think, even though we've had that on some of our vehicles,
I've never tried to let
the vehicle park itself. It's just, I don't know. It's just something I can't let go of. I know how to park, so I don't know. But maybe it's a new thing for young people.
So for $2,350, I don't know that I would go for that. I don't, with all the other safety options, I don't know that it's necessary. That's just me. And I do not care for – you're different about this, Johnny. I don't care for the heads-up display.
Yeah, it's I don't – sometimes don't like it because –
Explain what that is to those of our listeners who don't know what a heads-up display is.
Heads-up display is, as you're looking out of the vehicle, out the windshield, it is a display that shows up in the windshield itself at the bottom of it. You can adjust the height of it a little bit, whether it's up or down. But basically, it tells you your speed. Usually, it tells you something about stop signs and sometimes direction. It just has some information, mostly speed, though. And I'm not sure. I'm like Lori. It's fine. And for some people, maybe it's good if you're on the open road and going pretty fast. You want to know what your speed is, and you don't want to look down at your speedometer. Don't want to take your eyes off the road. But it can be sort of get in your vision, too, I think. So, again, that's why they're called options. You know, some of these things you don't have to get if you don't want them.
So here's the biggest price tag on the options packages, and that's for $3,700. You can get semi-aniline leather seating, all rows, a leather console and door trim, a microfiber suede headliner, and drumroll, floor mat. So for $3,700, I would rather buy a good
$3,700, you get leather seats, is what
I'm saying. Yeah, for $3,700, I'd rather take that money and buy a really great second car for a grandchild or something. To me, that doesn't, you know, thrill me. But for others, they may want that because, again, it's a Cadillac. And yet, the Cadillac is still a Cadillac. It's beautiful.
One of the things that I think enters into this all the time is, what can you afford? You know, and if you can afford it and you want leather seats, fine. Certainly, I wouldn't tell you not to. It's just you have to do your own evaluations. At our age, and, you know, knowing what we know about vehicles, I don't know that I need leather seats anymore. Maybe when I was 35, I couldn't have lived without leather seats, but I don't feel that way now. And everybody has their own opinion about that kind of thing. But certainly, if you can afford it and you want it, get it.
Especially if you take care of this car, which is going to last you many, many years, you'll want to probably just get the best of everything that it offers. Now, for $1,000 on the option package, you can get, and I would get this, the Cadillac user experience with embedded navigation with Bose Performance Series 14-speaker audio system. $1,000, that's a no-brainer. The audio system is great with this car. The 14-speaker audio system is concert quality. Bose is the best in my book, but then again, as I've mentioned in the past, I had the great honor of meeting Dr. Bose, and he was, I knew the second I was with him that I was in the presence of brilliance. So the Bose speaker audio system for $1,000 plus the embedded navigation, which means the navigation is part of your console. You don't have to, you know, input your cell phone or iPhone in order to access that.
I want to talk just a minute about that navigation. And I also want to say something about the $1,000. If you listen to the radio, then the $1,000 is probably worth $1,000 if you're into a lot. You know, the truth is when I drive my vehicle, not these, but my vehicle, I seldom ever listen to the radio. I don't have Sirius XM, one thing, but I just don't. I get lost in thought anyway when I'm driving, as you well know. And so I would probably get this just because I'm like you. I like Bose. I think it's the best out there. And so if you're going to listen to music, why not listen to the best? But I wanted to say something about, what were you talking about?
The navigation system.
Oh, the navigation system. I loved the navigation system. And we don't find it. At least I haven't found it to be on every vehicle that we've got. But this one, you simply push the speaker button, which is on the steering wheel, and she would say something like, yes, or how can I help? Oh, I don't know, some really wonderful thing. And then you would say things like navigate to and give her an address. And then it would, she would say like, just a moment. And then it would come back and she would go and find the address, program it in, and she would ask you, or it comes up on the screen, you just push the button that says go, or she'd come up and say, is this your destination? I mean, it's just like, you know, you talk to your car and it finds the destination you're trying to get to, and you say, yes, I want to go there. And then it says, turn right, turn left, navigation is engaged. It's just, those things are, that technology to me is just incredible.
This automotive AI, artificial intelligence, automotive artificial intelligence, a new word, a new phrase I've just coined, readers, listeners.
BV vehicle.
And I would name her Hazel. I would call her Hazel. If we owned this car, I would say Hazel. And then I'm sure that eventually, since AI can build upon itself, she'd say, yes, Lori. But in any event, okay, this is. I have to pull back because I made a mistake.
What? A mistake?
Yes, I have a mistake. This,
write this down. I will.
Write the date down. Date and time. The vehicle we drove was a six-passenger car because we had, for $750, the second-row captain chairs. It would normally be a third row, a second row with three seats, and then the third row was two seats. So because we had the captain chairs, for $800, you can get the second-row folding captain chairs. And would I do that? Absolutely.
Yeah, it's comfortable for your people in the second row. And it makes it easy
to get down to get in and out of the third row.
Yeah.
Now, this is where Johnny and I are going to have a debate. Comfort quality package, $750. Johnny, this includes heated rear outboard position seats.
I don't care whether my passengers have heated seats.
I don't care. What the hell? let it put on an extra.
Yeah, wear heavier pants.
Do that. ventilated driver and front passenger seat, air conditioning.
Yeah, I kind of like that part.
And I do too. So.
Especially if you live in a warm climate in the summer, which we do. So.
And
those air-conditioned seats actually come in pretty handy.
Very handy. And then an air ionizer, which cleans the air.
Yeah, like that.
The premium headlight lamp system, it tells you where you're going. The lights will...
It doesn't tell you where you're going.
No, it doesn't. It visually...
When you turn left.
Shows you
when you turn left.
The lights go to the left around the corner. That's $700. Shadow...
I don't know. Again, that's one we could talk about. I like it. Is it... Critical?
No, but I find it off-putting.
I just noticed it, but I kind of like being able to see off to the left or the right when you turn.
Well, it does, now I'm going to pull back on that, too, because if you've got a deer in the headlamps.
Well, or you start to turn right and the deer is on the right, for example. All of a sudden, you see it ahead of time.
Yeah.
From a safety standpoint,
we're talking about $700. For the premium headlamp system, and then shadow metallic paint finish.
It didn't do anything for me. It was gray.
And then the security cargo $350. So the total option package comes to under $14,000. Is it worth it? Again,
Individual preference.
It's up to you.
Yeah.
But Cadillac has packaged the most important elements for a smooth, comfortable, safe drive in all three of these
models.
What
yeah.
time is this?
Oh, we still got 5 minutes.
Okay. So who's going to buy this car, Johnny?
People like us, but ones that have money. Not car reviewers, actual car purchasers, you know.
Well, that's probably. That's...
I don't think it's a New York car, unless you live out.
Oh, definitely.
I can't see it downtown
gosh,
New York.
Absolutely.
I can see it out, maybe out on Long Island or Garden City or.
Well, no. Oh.
Or out in the country, but not downtown Brooklyn or.
Well, it'll be a Yonkers car for our Yonkers Tribune readers.
Parking. I don't know about Yonkers parking. That's
sure.
all I was thinking about.
Westchester, Yonkers.
We've got
a
parking
car.
Garages.
It's a country car.
In Yonkers. Can you imagine?
Yes, even in Yonkers, especially in Yonkers, Cadillac.
Never having spent any time in Yonkers, but having spent time in Brooklyn.
My Aunt Helen Bonsky lived in Yonkers. I spent a lot of my childhood in Yonkers. No, here's the thing. This is a great family car.
Yeah.
Let's call it up to six. A family of two parents and four kids, possibly.
A baby, too.
Yeah. It's a great car for retirement. People like Johnny and me, who still are active and go around and about, like to put the miles on the car.
Except for COVID.
Which has
kept us from doing a lot of things we would have liked to have done.
Have real reasons to have a car that can be easily accessible for storage. A young couple who have, you know, arrived, so to speak, financially and want to have a wonderful car they can take on long hauls up to the country.
Listen, and let me just add this. You're talking about things, and a lot of people are doing some of these things. The big thing these days are outdoor activities. Instead of going out to eat and doing some of those kinds of things, people are going skiing. They're playing golf. And of course, you know, I love to shoot. I love the outdoors, and I love to go to the shooting range, clay shooting, that kind of thing. There's a lot more interest in those kinds of activities now. Why? First of all, it's easy to practice social distancing. Two, when you're outside, you really don't feel the need to wear a mask. Most people don't, anyway, when you're outside. And it gets you outside. And there is something about getting outside, about not being cooped up in your house all the time. I felt very badly for the people in England, for example, who are on this home restriction. We have a very good friend who lives in Scotland. She lives in Edinburgh, and they're like, you know, they're not even supposed to go out of their house. Well, you know, I'm not going to get the political aspects of all this, but, you know, we live in a country where you're supposed to be free to make some choices, and I don't know, and common sense and some of the other things. But anyway, this kind of vehicle lets you get outside. It lets you put guns and ammo and picnic baskets and skis and, you know.
Dogs.
Yeah, dogs. You want to go to the park and run a dog and throw bumpers into the pond and that kind of thing.
Well, let me say, when I say dogs, I don't mean your dog is loose in the car, scuffing up your leather interior. Your dog always ever should be in a crate. Now, you can lay down.
And you can put a big crate in one of these.
Yeah, you can lay down your second and third rows and put in a crate. Never, ever, people, I know you won't believe me when I tell you this, but I used to consult for Volvo, which has been the preeminent safety automotive manufacturing company forever. And they did many, many studies on safety, many, many studies, one with dogs. And they determined that a dog that is in the back seat of your vehicle, if you crash at 30 miles an hour, has the same square foot propulsion as an elephant. This is why a dog should be in a crate and not left to put his head out the window and sit on your lap while you're driving.
That drives me crazy when you see people going down the road, their little dogs with their heads stuck out the window. It's very dangerous for the dog.
Big dogs with their heads stuck out the window. And they do. They love that, the thrill of the air in their face, but always crate your dog, and this car is perfect for dog owners. So why the sport mode, Johnny? And then we'll wrap it up.
Well, the sport mode is the high end, and it had all those things that you talked about, that you go from luxury, premium luxury, to sport, and sport offers, you know, the paddles, the V6 engine. I think the premium offers the V6 engine too, but got the bigger engine. It's the design of it is more of an adventurous type of thing. Kind of goes along with what we were just talking about of outdoor types of activities, and it's sort of a luxury adventure SUV. So that's why it's the high end. It's got more features.
It's all. It's all good. So what time is it now? Look on this
book. It's like 10:30. But before you go, can you tell us about the car dealership in
Pinehurst? Another fast half hour. Hezzy, thank you. We'll talk to you next week. Good luck with the upcoming storm. And
get the white, we get the rain.
And next week's car is?
Mini Cooper.
The Mini Cooper little teeny.
You're kidding me,
countryman.
Mini Cooper.
We love it.
Wow.
Yeah.
And it's electric and gas.
Fantastic.
It's fantastic. So we'll talk to
you
about that next week.
Before you go, can you tell us about the Pinehurst dealership? I think it's Clark's.
Clark.
Clark Chevrolet.
Clark Chevrolet Cadillac. They're the best. Good people.
They're our friends. We love them. They've been so kind to us. Please look them up if you're in the Moore County, North Carolina area. Clark Chevrolet and Cadillac. Pinehurst, North Carolina. Hezzy, on that note, listeners, have
terrific.
A great day.
All the best.
We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you. Goodbye. Okay, well, there we have it. And now I see we've got Brian Harrod, the publisher and editor of Yonkers Newswire. I'm just going to do a little bit of cleanup because I thought we were going to be speaking to Lakeisha Collins-Bellamy, but I made a mistake. So she's not going to be on today at 10:30, or rather at 11. So just so that you're aware. And then we'll do a quick introduction to the Westchester on the Level intro, and then we're going to speak to Brian Harrod.
Welcome to Blog Talk Radio. This is Westchester on the Level with your host, Hezzy Eris.
Well, good morning, Brian. How are you?
I'm doing well, Hezzy. How are you doing today?
Okay, well, you know, that list that you sent me yesterday, my God, I had no idea so much stuff is going on in Yonkers. I thought it was like a sleepy little town, nothing happening, you know, but my God, we even had a dead body in in downtown Yonkers. What's with that?
You know, there's not much to know about it. The Yonkers Police Department, for some reason, isn't releasing much information. What's the age? What's the cause of death? Why was this body next to the firehouse in Chicken Island? Was it a drug overdose? Was it natural causes? Was it ran over or hit by somebody of importance in town? There's no coming with information, unfortunately.
Well, just so you know, too, we had like a major disaster last week in the building. And there was a gas leak, so they're fixing every floor, and so that's what you'll hear in the background, unfortunately. So I just want to go over to the information you sent me yesterday, assuming I could find it.
Yes.
Bear with me a moment here.
There was actually another death too. There was a Yonkers police sergeant. Hit an elderly gentleman, I believe 80 years old, and
80 years, right.
She called the police. She called the police department and waited for the officers to get there. But unfortunately, he passed too. So a couple of deaths in Yonkers.
That was really a big shame, because you know when you last 80 years of age, you don't want to get run over, or however it happened.
I don't mean to laugh.
That's a little frightening.
They don't leave much time now with the crosswalks, you know, especially with the where they have the cameras for to catch the people going through red lights. They've limited that little time between the yellow and red light down to a few seconds, and it seems like you just barely get in the crosswalk and it's counting down like this, you know. And if you are, let's say you're walking with some kind of aid, it's difficult to get across a large street.
Well, it is actually, because quite often I found myself, instead of making it all the way across the road, sometimes there's a little island before you get to the other side completely.
I'll make it halfway and get to the other side.
Stop there because 15 seconds is not enough.
Yes.
It used to be, probably when I was mm-hmm. five, but not anymore.
mm.
So crazy, crazy stuff. Okay, bear with me a moment with all the noise in the background.
No problems.
I can't seem to find my notes, but I know they're here. So I'm going to find it in a moment.
I'll just mention one thing while you're looking there, if you don't mind.
What are you going to mention?
The death in on Kimball Avenue, I believe they said by Fox Street. Someone contacted me and about that, and initially was complaining that wasn't reporting about it, and I had no clue about it. And at first, I thought it might have been an old issue. You know, somebody had died in the past, and they didn't feel there was enough coverage or something. So then I contacted a police source, and it turned out to be that this lady who's been a sergeant for, you know, 10, 11, 12 years had ran over this gentleman. And but there was no notification from the police. You know, if somebody gets ran over in White Plains or Mount Vernon or Fort Chester or New Rochelle, people know about it all over the county. But actually, I posted it, and then another journalist said, let me contact the police department, and then he came back onto the post and said they're going to put out a press release later today. And that was a day after the person was killed in a police-involved, off-duty police officer-involved accident, apparently. But they don't seem to share, they don't seem to share incidents easily with the public, the Yonkers Police Department.
Well, I certainly didn't get it, so if I didn't read it on your website, I would not have known. So mm-hmm. thanks for finding out about it. That was really important. Well, there's something else that's going on, which you also were able to break the news on. I didn't notice it showed up only. I looked at the email today, and then there was a notice from Rising Ground. They were normally known as formerly as Leak and Watts. And you pointed
yes.
out in your report that it's a 32-acre Yonkers campus. And
I'm sure there's many developers salivating right now.
Yeah. But, you know, while the developers are salivating, there are also a lot of people who work at Rising Ground, and they're all mm-hmm. going to be let go. And you know what?
Yes.
The other thing that I don't understand is, well, what's going to happen to the population of children that have been able to, you know, change their life and their lifestyle that's commensurate with just living a better life, education,
you know,
and staying away from bad things that could happen on the street. This is
mm-hmm.
crucial, and I don't know how we're going to work with that population.
No, it's very vulnerable children and people there, but I didn't get the information from Rising Ground itself. It was a realtor that had sent me an email, and I noticed
okay.
the property was for being offered. You know what I'm saying? So,
okay.
As far as Rising Ground, I don't know if they're in the process of consolidating facilities. They're not going to take care of these kids anymore, or getting out of that type of service. I just don't know what the backstory is from Rising Ground's. Yeah.
They're just getting out of it completely. I think they just want to sell the property. I don't know what they're
mm-hmm.
going to be doing.
I didn't have a chance to read
the press release from yesterday that they sent, which I didn't know.
Oh, they sent you a press
morning.
Release. I didn't get one. Yes, they. I did see in the past in Greenwich they closed an office. It was more of a referral type of office a few years back.
Uh-huh.
So maybe they are. Getting out of certain services in that they traditionally performed.
Mm. Well, there was something else that you also pointed out, which was really very relevant, about the cold weather, which caused
mm-hmm.
four water main pipes to burst in Yonkers after the most recent chill in the air. So
mm-hmm.
temperatures were very low. We're also expecting snow, I think, tonight or tomorrow. So it's
mm-hmm.
conceivable that maybe are very old and they need to be replaced.
It's,
I don't know why so many burst on the same day.
Maybe it's we're replacing connection by connection as they give way. But I do believe they're pretty ancient. But the funny part of this was just a couple weeks back, I was talking with my wife, talking about how easy this winter had been, and we just had to make another month or so, and we're going to be out of this. We'll be in spring. And then right after that, this snowstorm after snowstorm after snowstorm hit, and like you said, this last burst of cold air really did some damage because it knocked. I think it was in the number of hundreds of people lost their water because these pipes just pop all over town.
Well, you know what's so interesting? You may not have gotten the press release. I found out about it. Puxatawny Phil, he came out of the borough and saw his shadow, so he scurried back in, which is supposed to mean that winter's going to be here for another 6 weeks.
It looks like he's right.
You never know.
As soon as that happened.
I think he's right.
It went south. As soon as he went back into that burrow, I guess it went south. There is one news I didn't send you. It just happened last night. What's her name? Councilwoman, she's my councilwoman, Councilwoman Shanae Williams. She withdrew.
Yeah.
From Tim Iadone challenging him at the Democratic Westchester County Democratic Convention, I heard.
Well, that's interesting that you mentioned that because I had heard that the Democratic Party in Yonkers, had endorsed Tim Iadone, who is the incumbent, for
his
re-election.
Oh, really? I didn't hear that one yet.
But I had not heard that Shanae Williams pulled away.
That might have been why one of the reasons she withdrew. I had one person that sent me a text message last night, and I just didn't trust them that much. So they're very into politics, you know. They can kind of mislead you. So then I had to call someone this morning, and then I just heard that yes, she did withdraw. So she took her name out of contention.
So does that mean? Does that mean that she'll be running? Wait, is she up for re-election? No, she wasn't up for re-election.
No, she was going to challenge Mr. Iadone for the clerk seat and then possibly collect signatures against him. But like you said, I didn't realize the Yonkers Dems endorsed the current clerk, Mr.
Iadone.
So the I guess that was part of her decision
Shanae
that she
Williams,
decided not to go forward.
So Shanae Williams, though, is the incumbent, 2 years of a 4-year term. So she may not be running against Mr. Iadone.
No, she's not.
But she's got two more years in her office. So I guess she could also rebuild that up, to get much more support. So that might be just like a wake-up call to rejuvenate her campaign effort.
That could be part of the calculus there. It's very hard. I was a little surprised because I came out of left field. Like I said, the person that sent me the first text message, he's a real big, Dem, whoever the Dem party's got right there, you know what I'm saying? So I didn't trust him 100%. So then I had to call today, and you got to wait till people wake up, but you don't want to be their first call in the morning.
Right.
So she withdrew her took her name out of contention. So anyway, I guess it's Mr. Iadone's, unless there's a Republican challenger, it's all his.
Yeah.
Or is it a fifth term?
Yeah,
I think it is.
I didn't hear that there was a Republican challenger at all. Well, I wanted to ask you about something else.
Yes, sir.
It seems that there's an affordable housing facility called Dayspring Commons. It's a housing project in Yonkers. They're now accepting applications for a housing lottery, and which is going to be held in the spring. And they have 1, 2, 3, and bedroom apartments. And the rentals are running from $1,100 to $1,500, inclusive of heating costs, which could be really quite high, I would tend to think, in the wintertime.
Yes.
Maybe we are getting more affordable housing units that are coming into Yonkers.
Yes.
So that's actually exciting.
I believe Corazon had proposed that they're supposed to be, I try to highlight these as I find them, but there was supposed to be a website that was going to be put up that would list every single unit, who the landlord was and what the costs were and how you applied. But the city never came across that. It's gotten to be, it's getting a little long in the tooth, like over a year or so. But I think the IT department in Yonkers was saying it's a big project. But to me, it's like putting up a an Excel spreadsheet and updating it. You know, but you could be a page on the city website. But because in Yonkers now, most of the new affordable housing is either these new buildings where it's 10%, I believe, of the units that come online, or there's totally affordable units, and they're often a partnership. It's like a public-private partnership or a public not-for-profit partnership that builds these new housing units, and they each have their own little lists. So it's it would be nice if residents in Yonkers on a fixed income, because the rents usually the hardest bill for residents to pay, that would get this information and be first in line to get these units, because they're open to everybody in the county. You know, because they get funding from the state and from the federal government.
Yeah, it was amazing. Actually, I read something else was available. I think it was in Newcastle, and it was being promoted here in Yonkers. So very, very interesting. Also affordable housing. Well, I wanted to ask you about something else that you also posted, and was with regard to the Yonkers City Council, the minority leader, Mike Breen, who represents the 5th District, and Councilman Anthony Moranti, who represents the 6th District, both brought up a resolution that was intended to send a strong message to Albany lawmakers that Yonkers and numerous Italian-American organizations were vehemently opposed to terminating Columbus Day, then as a holiday. And then, interestingly enough, on top of that, the what I never understood is, why do we have to change Columbus Day to Indigenous Peoples Day? Can't we have a separate day for Indigenous people?
Yes. Well,
what's the point? I don't understand it.
I do understand where some people, I know that especially Puerto Ricans feel that, or it's true that, in being colonized, it was rather brutal, in those times. And there was a lot of slavery and that type of stuff. But I also, notwithstanding that, There is a thing that someone, it's like going to the moon. Somebody ventured out and discovered this continent. So, I don't want to take down Christopher Columbus statues, but I'm not opposed to additional information being, right beside a statue or something. As far as the Columbus Day, I don't think it really should be renamed for another holiday. I don't know. I guess they could call it Italian American Day or this, but I believe maybe a separate holiday for Indigenous peoples, as they say, would be in effect. It's just I don't know. At what point does this stop? George Washington owned slaves, but we can't tear down every we can't remove President's Day and tear down every George Washington statue. And disregard that he was the a general in the army that was a part of the revolution that gave us the freedoms we have now, even though he was a slave owner and his family
was a slave owner.
Yes, who gave us the Declaration of Independence.
Slave owner.
Yes, exactly.
Right.
So there is some horrible history that people need to know, but I don't think it should be. I don't think we should erase history to promote another piece of history. I think both histories should be in front of us.
Well, what's the rationale for changing Columbus Day to Indigenous People Day? Is it because Columbus Day is a legal holiday? Is it a legal holiday? I don't even remember. Is it a day off?
I'm not sure, to be honest.
In school? So
I know this.
Why do we need to change it? for to Indigenous Peoples Day, can't we come up with another date a week later, a week earlier, whatever?
I agree
Why
with that.
Why can't we put it off?
I understand the feelings of some people. You know, it's like he's a great guy. He discovered America, the three ships, the whole nine yards. But, you know, he was part of his exploration was he was guaranteed to be governor of any lands he discovered. And he was brutal. There's no getting around that. So it's I just feel that maybe in celebrating Columbus Day, it should be acknowledged the full story.
You know, I don't disagree that his some of the history that he's been involved with was brutal.
Yes.
Does that also mean that the Arabs from North Africa who sold black Africans to Europe and to the United States, and they were the ones that actually were involved in the slave trade? What do we mm-hmm. do with them?
Yes. No, it's
do we expunge history as well?
No, history is a tough thing. You know, it's usually the victors who get to write the history, but I just am for more information, not less. I'm not really for tearing down Columbus statues, but I am for if people have an objection of that there should be a fuller display of more of an explanation. And you know, if that's just I guess it's a touchy situation, but I'm not for being such a revisionist that we try to erase history. You know, the I think in Egypt years ago, King Tut's father decided that he was going to be a monotheist, and that didn't go over well with the religious elites of that society, and he quickly was no longer king, and they just tried to erase all of his story. And right now, most people couldn't tell you who King Tut's father was, you know what I'm saying? But even though he's leaning towards monotheism, you know, probably brought a lot of, you know, as part of the society moving towards that belief, you know, to a kind of a good and evil and one type of belief. But so there are people in history that want to try to erase certain things, but I think the history should be fuller. It should have more of an explanation, in my opinion.
Well, what is it that you want to have explained? I don't understand.
I'm not for outlawing Columbus Day, but if a community
okay.
wants to celebrate it, I believe that you know, there should be some acknowledgement or some kind of thing of the atrocities that did occur. You know, that and mm-hmm. if people wish to have a Indigenous Peoples Day, and there is a, you know, there is an awful lot of tribes that were here to now have small reservations or have been or within our society, and there were atrocities, and it should be just like there's a Black History Month and a month for Hispanic heritage. There probably should be maybe a month for the original people that were here in this continent before we arrived.
Well, I agree. So what are we going to do with all the American Indians that were killed and also enslaved as well?
Yes.
And well, now they're on reservations and they can't get away. And they're intoxicated because there are no jobs. It doesn't
mm-hmm.
stop. I don't know how we're going to ever change this dynamic, because there's a great deal of a lack of fairness. Also,
mm-hmm.
even if we look at Yonkers, why don't we have a Hispanic Day parade? Is it because
yeah.
we have so many different people from so many different countries? So the El Salvadorians don't want to have a celebration with the Mexicans and the Argentinians or the Brazilians or the Costa Ricans
mm-hmm.
or the Peruvians or the Ecuadorians, however you want to look at it. When is enough? When can we be all inclusive? We're not all inclusive of the Puerto Ricans. And we have,
yeah.
I think, the largest population of Hispanics in Yonkers are from Puerto Rico,
mm-hmm.
followed by the
Dominicans.
How come we don't have anything for them?
This predates me because I'm rather new to Yonkers, but I understand, right, there was a Puerto Rican Day parade, and then they transformed it into a Hispanic parade. And I think, you know, Latinos have a good argument of, like, look, you have an Irish parade, you have a Columbus parade, you have, you know, different groups that have big celebrations. There should be maybe, since there's such large populations, there should probably be a Dominican parade and a Puerto Rican parade. But I think part of it is,
you bring that up because
I'm sorry, go ahead.
You bring it up, but the point is the people who put a kibosh on the Puerto Rican Day Parade were all Puerto Ricans. They're the ones who destroyed it.
Yeah.
Is that interesting?
Well, maybe they,
you know
they,
why? Because it was a power grab. It was a power grab. They were screwing each other when they should have just worked together because there were two different forces. And one group didn't like the entourage of people at their home, so they were undermined by the other. And at the end, we have nothing, which is outrageous.
And you know what? Another group that probably should have a parade, too, and they actually, when I saw the Hispanic parade a few years back, they were one of the largest contingents, and one of the most colorful contingents of the parade was the Mexican-American community. They had they almost should have their own parade too. That community is really growing in Yonkers. I guess it's just a matter of can they form committees, raise enough funds to hold the parade, you know, and having enough support within their own communities to do it.
How big a parade do you have to have? You could have a parade for a block or two or three or four. It doesn't have to be all the way down McLean Avenue, does it? You got to start somewhere.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Have a small parade.
You know,
and go
why not a parade in Little Mexico?
Yeah, I love parades, so I'm biased here. So I wouldn't mind a parade every month.
I agree. So that's a good idea. Well, let's see. There's more that we need to cover. There's a lot of stuff. Oh yeah, it turns out that. The thing that was interesting about this Indigenous Peoples thing, the legislation that they wanted to adopt was sent back to rules because the language wasn't appropriate. I don't know who the bozos are that put the language together initially so that it has to be sent back. So we'll wait another 2 weeks
that,
for this stuff.
Yes. So,
well, and then what about the Sustainable Westchester operation where Yonkers is going to join this aggregation program to buy fuel and energy that's supposedly free of emissions?
I'm on both sides of this issue. One, I'm very much in favor of green energy and doing anything we can to improve things for the client, for the climate.
Mm-hmm.
But I am less than pleased with the way that Sustainable Westchester goes about its process of getting people for its program. You know, they go to a community and they basically get the city council and the mayor or supervisor in a town to basically pass a law that slams everybody into them for them to buy their power. They take them off the Con Ed standard offer or any place else they were getting power and slam them into this group. And then they have to opt out. And especially, I prefer it to be an opt-in type of program, but especially since the power is more expensive. And in a community like Yonkers, where there's many people on a fixed income, where we're in the middle of a pandemic, just slamming a bunch of seniors, disabled people, people that are impoverished, people that are unemployed, into buying more expensive electricity is ludicrous in my mind. The offer should be there, but it shouldn't be forced on people. Just like, you know, you have the option of if you own a home that they say there's insurance for that to dig up the – if we have to dig up a pipe on your property – and we suggest you get this, and they really push it. It comes in the mail. It's in the newsletters of council people. There's press releases. There's news stories about it. And people can buy that extra coverage. And I think it should be, you know, for the good of our community, it should be, you have the option of, we would suggest you try to do this to help us, you know, be more green. But you shouldn't just slam seniors on a fixed income who may not even be aware that they're getting ready to be slammed into a higher cost of electricity.
All right, so then, I'm sorry again for the noise in the background, but then if that's the case, and I had not known that you have to opt out, so everybody's going to be signed in because Yonkers is going to sign on to the program, then what was the point? What was the point of Yonkers just accepting it for the entire city without having a discussion about it then before adopting it for the entire city?
Well, I think Sustainable Westchester comes with a prepackaged legislation for people and saying this is really good for the planet, and they say we're more expensive. They say we're competitive. You know what I'm saying? Even though you're going to pay more, we're competitive. So and a lot of people end up opting out. They're in 28 communities, and they have just a little over 100,000 clients or people that want to do this. So if you take that 28 communities and divide into 100,000 people, it's about 3,000 people per community that they've signed up. You know what I'm saying? So obviously a lot of people have opted out, and they initially signed everybody up. They found out I'm paying more, and they left. Some people might not realize they're paying more. They just pay their bills. Some people may be willing to pay more for a green energy. There's like more. Some people pay more for a Prius car, you know what I'm saying, or green to help the environment. But some people can't, you know, especially people who are on a fixed income or have lost a job. They just can't afford to pay more for power.
All right, so evidently, so this has been adopted, and so people are being forced to sign in, and if they
eventually,
want to pull out,
if it passes, yeah.
Oh, it didn't pass yet?
I think it's
I thought
being
it
proposed
was approved
to go
by
to
City Hall.
I thought I might be wrong too. I thought it was being proposed. It goes to City Council, then it goes back to the mayor. He signs off on it, makes it the law, I guess, that we're initially signing all these people up, and then from there, people can opt out right away. You get your first bill that says, "Oh, you're paying more money." You say, "Why is this happening?" Then you got to go through the trouble of opting out. Then they tell you, well, you're in the middle of a billing period, so you can't opt out till the first of next month. You know what I'm saying? So you end up paying a couple months of a higher power, you know, until you can get out of the thing, and unless you're very aware of it and jump on it right away as soon as you get the first notice. There'll probably be a slip of paper in your Con Ed bill or something, you know, at the bottom of your Con Ed bill, some kind of notice you're being switched.
All right, well, we'll have to see how that all works, because I'm totally confused now. I thought the mayor signed off on it, so it was adopted. So I guess it's not even going to go to the city council.
I might be behind the
for approval,
or it might be. I might be behind. Maybe it's further along than I realized.
Okay, I didn't know that the city council ever voted on it, but then, you know, what do I know? Okay, well, a couple of people are running for political office. We found out that Brandon Jason Nider is declared his entry for Westchester County Board Legislator to serve in the 14th District. So he's challenging as a Republican, and he's running against David Tubiolo, who is a Democrat incumbent. So how do you look at that whole contest?
Well, I know David from volunteering to take food to seniors, and is a very nice gentleman, and been in his family. I think he was previously a Republican and has switched to the Democratic
Party.
Yeah,
he was.
A little bit over, I think, of kind of like the national politics of how Trump was, and plus shifting demographics, I think, in his district. And then Brandon, I mostly know him from just joking around, you know, back and forth in social media groups. But he's involved politically. And I guess he figures there's enough Republican support there that he might be able to challenge David. And I don't. That's much. I don't much know more than that. I know it's a very. I think most of the people in that district are seniors, so it's senior issues are very important. You know that it's got a very high population of seniors, so I assume that'll be most of the debate or political talk of how seniors are being taken care of, or what we can do for seniors, especially during this pandemic. That's what I'm guessing.
Wanted to ask you about one issue with regard to NIDER. He advises that while he's running, he's not going to take the salary that is paid to county board legislators, so he's going to do it at no cost.
Is that
a good move?
Well, people like that an awful lot when
Others
they hear it. And you know, I know the county legislators are able to get $15,000 or $20,000, and they usually, like nonprofits in their groups, they get $5,000 here, $5,000 here, like that type of stuff. It'd be nice if he could take that.
I guess for local grants.
They get the opportunity to distribute local grants
in their
district.
So everybody gets that. What does that got to do with his salary that he's not taking?
Well, I would say it'd be nice if he could take that. What is it? Is it $79,000 or $49,000? I think. That they give them.
I don't know what they get paid.
Just to be able to donate it to different groups in that district would be even nicer, you know what I'm saying, than just say, I don't want it. But, you know, there's maybe just, it could be like $5,000 donations.
You know, the point is, he doesn't have the authority to decide how to disperse whatever his salary is. He either accepts it or he doesn't. So
isn't
that supposed
to
be voted upon by the county board of legislators? I don't even know
if they have
to be asked. He just
if he says,
refuse
I don't want
it.
I don't want the check.
I don't want the money.
So they can't force him to take it. Yeah, I guess he could take
the check
and then donate it and then write it off. But you know, it's one as much as the other.
You can't.
You know,
last I looked, every time you want, if you get a check written out to you, you can't sign it over to anybody else. Did you know that?
He did have the deposit and donated individually to different groups, I guess. But it's an interesting thing saying, you know, it is a nice thing. I'll put it this way, Hezzy. I'm not saying that the county legislators don't have to look over a lot of issues or aren't involved as much in constituent services, but you know what? There is an argument to be made that it wouldn't be bad for them to be citizen legislators. That it's not a job. That it's that you go there to serve kind of thing. So maybe it's something other people might want to do. Follow his lead. I'm not sure. You know.
I don't know. A lot of people have been doing that job, and they've been getting paid for a very long time. So I don't know if. NIDER is going to change that equation. I just have no clue. But then there's another individual that's running against an incumbent, and that's James Nolan. He's declared his candidacy as a Republican, and he's challenging Westchester County Board Legislator Ruth Walter, who ran as a Democrat, and she won in Legislative District 15. And Nolan is running against her. So, is that an uphill battle, or is the fact that Nolan is running in a district that's been a little bit Democrat and a little bit Republican? It's a very mixed district, isn't it?
Yes, I am. I know it's very conservative, and I know Democrats in that area are they're not like. Democrats in Scarsdale or Rye Brook, you know, they're a little more conservative Democrats, you know, so he may have a shot. And just when you thought the Yonkers Republican Party was dead and gone just about, there is a little bit of a small resurgence of their candidates stepping forward to challenge in individual districts. So I guess it's a good thing to have debates, to have challenges, and to it's not good just to have a one-party system, you know. So it's good to have you know, challengers, and to actually have a loyal opposition that wins sometimes too, you know.
Hmm. So do you think that we might be getting you think that we're getting a resuscitation of Republican Party people? Because they were on the losing end for a few years, and now
yes.
with Nider and Nolan, it seems that
there
might be a resurgence.
He's got Mr. Ranty's taking on, is being taken on again, you know, against with a Democratic challenger.
Yeah, but he's
so
a Republican.
There's a little bit of a there's,
and what about
there's
Green?
Still some life in the Republican Party, I guess.
And what about Green? He's in the 5th District. He's a minority leader.
Mm-hmm.
Does that look like he's
going
to be able to hold on?
Yeah, well, I don't think he's up this year, but I think his is probably the most secure Republican seat there. You know, I believe Maranti's seat was very close in the last election. And I believe there's Mr. Hodges, a former police deputy police chief, and Stella, I'm going to mispronounce her name, who's associated with London Reyes, is also running on the Democratic ticket, collecting signatures. At least she said she is. So there's three people.
Well, what is London Reyes running for? What's London Reyes running for?
I don't know. I heard he was at one time was going to challenge Jose Alvarado, but then that kind of got quiet. Then apparently he was encouraging or working with someone to run against, collect signatures against Mr. John Rubio. But I don't know how true that is either. You know, it just I know there's some efforts with people around London Reyes to challenge some people, but I don't know how successful they are.
Well, how much clout does London Reyes have anyway? He failed at every time he tried to get a position, an elected position.
Mm-hmm.
So how is he going to tell people what else to do? His example
well,
is
they
failure.
Are. They are good at collecting signatures. You know, he's very good at mobilizing his family to collect signatures. And there's not that many signatures to be collected. And with the pandemic,
only 300.
There's even less. Yeah, there's even less. They've cut it back. And so that makes it easier. And I think, if I recall right, I might get this wrong, but I believe Stella, when it was challenging Mr. Hodges for the Democratic line, when she lost that, she still got 15% of the Democratic district leaders to support her, like 14-something percent. I forget what it was, but there's a small minority, I guess, that would be willing to work with or sides with London.
I see.
Is the people with him, but when the elections happen, usually they're blowout elections for the opponents of his camp. Usually they lose, London's camp loses pretty badly.
You know what I don't understand is why would there be like this guru that is involved in so many different races? He's failed in his own efforts in the past. But that doesn't matter. You know, maybe he has a lot of information and stuff. But why would anybody want to align themselves with him when he's failed? I don't understand the dynamic here. Do you?
Some of the people that are that he attracts, he's had a relationship with the volunteer coaching and stuff, and the number or the singing group. But they're usually younger people in their 20s, and we could do this, and let's try to do this. And I'm not trying to discourage young people from taking office. It's a good thing. So, like I said, any kind of debate, any kind of campaign or election, even if it's poorly run or even if you lose badly, it's still good for the system. I believe there should be debate. I believe there should be issues brought up. And maybe he just has to be the gadfly. I don't know. I don't know what his motivation is or what his plans are, but he's pretty consistent of trying to be involved in an election every 2 years or so, but with not very good results.
Well, that's going to be very, very interesting. I do remember when, I think it was 2 years ago, when London Reyes was running for political office, and I remember he was going to have some sort of an event at the Park Hill tennis courts. And since I was right at Dia de Noche, which was not half a block from Central Avenue, I said he was driving back. So I said, well, can I hop a ride with you if you're going to the Park Hill tennis courts? He said, yeah. And then the minute I get in his car, he says, he's ticked off. I said, why are you ticked off? He said, because he was hoping to get a job from the mayor. I said, did you talk to the mayor? He said, no. So I said, maybe you should talk to the mayor if you want a job. And then it turned out that I understand that he approached the mayor, but when he approached the mayor, he said, you know what, I'm going to pull away from my campaign if you give my son a job. Is that the way it works in Yonkers? Because I don't know about you, but that disgusts me.
Yeah.
I mean, does everyone look for a job? I hear it all
the time. Well, obviously he didn't get it. Obviously he didn't get a job, but
no, he did.
But you hear this. You hear this all the time that it may be one of the best ways to get a job in Yonkers is to get a group of people together, make a lot of noise, and pretty soon you're a clerk somewhere, or you're in a DPW, or you're in some other group. But you know, it's people try to add two and two together, and sometimes they get five. But I guess there is some rationale that, you know what, this person was really upset about the schools, and now she works for the schools, or this person was really upset about City Hall, and now works at the DPW or something. So it looks suspicious. Let me put it that way.
Well, got to ask you a question then. If this is what's going on, did we not get the memo? Did they not send us a press release about the way it's done in Yonkers?
So you and I pissed off a lot of people. We should have got a job by now. After 25 years of upsetting every administration, you would have thought it would have been hezzy. What can we do to silence you?
I just never knew that this was the secret.
One example
after the other, and I just didn't know. Shows you how stupid I am, right?
Yes.
Well,
maybe, woke up many occasions upset with what was revealed in the Yonkers Tribune. So, but it's Yonkers. Bonkers.
Well, very interesting. I see that it's almost 20 minutes after, and I know you've got appointments. So, first of all, thank you for making the extra time. Oh, maybe we have one moment. We forgot to do one last thing. Yonkers Assemblyman Nader Sayers, who represents the 90th District, he designated, he introduced a resolution that called on the governor to proclaim February 5 as Kashmiri American Day in New York State. And it was passed unanimously. That's huge, because a lot of people are not familiar with the Kashmiri ethnic group. They live in the disputed area between Pakistan
and
India,
yes.
Known as Kashmir.
Yeah.
So it's interesting.
What I would say about that real quick is one thing I admire about Nader Sage is just he has a manner that you kind of want in a legislator or an elected official. They talk about it on Capitol Hill. They talk about it up in Albany. They talk about it in the Yonkers City Council. But he just has a way of being congenial and being willing to work with both sides and being willing to listen. And often, like this thing, you know, just it's unanimously approved. You know what I'm saying? And he does it quietly, and he does it. He just has a way of being able to sit down with people, working out something, and everybody walks away a winner. Everybody walks away happy, you know. So I admire that ability that he has, and I think it's going, in years to come, pay off big time for Yonkers. And I think the population kind of appreciates that because I want to say, I get numbers wrong often. I have to go back and look. But I want to say he got like 25,000 votes in the last elections, you know, so he was,
well, I don't
people
remember.
Highly approve of his, yeah, highly approve of his, of his efforts in Albany on our behalf.
Well, that's great. Good stuff to hear. Well, thanks again for making the time. I very much appreciate it, and all the best to you. Thanks for making it.
I appreciate you inviting
me.
Be
good.
I'll talk to you again, Hezzy. Take care, my friend.
You too. Be well. Well, here we have it, folks. None other than Yonkers Newswire publisher and editor, and always good to talk to him. And so Brian Harrod, you'll probably find him on the Yonkers Newswire. And he's got other publications as well besides the Yonkers Newswire, but that's the one I focus on most. And he's got a lot of newswires that cover different parts of Westchester County. So very, very interesting. So he's been kept busy, that's for sure. Well, there's a lot of background noise here. So what I'm going to do is I'm just simply going to see if I can do some news reporting. That'll be great. But if it gets noisy, I'm just going to say goodbye, and we'll hope that they won't be operating tomorrow, but they probably will. So we'll see what goes on. Let's see what's happening on the international stage. Oh, I think we're going to have the noise again. So I'm just going to let everyone go, and just have a great day, and hopefully it'll be quiet tomorrow. So thanks again, and goodbye. Let me go back to the studio screen and shut us off. There we are. Okay. One second. Let's say goodbye.